Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Tom Donnan, shared here on the show 4 years ago how a wake-up call after a serious medical event motivated him to rely on Jesus and led him to the writing life. He has shifted his writing style from prophetic messages to novels based on true stories. Today, Tom returns to talk about his latest projects, how God led him to them, and what he has learned. Good morning, Tom. Welcome back to Step Into the Light.
Betty, thank you very much for having me on your program again. It's a joy to talk with you because we have such fun. And I have discovered that when you lift up the name of Jesus and he says that he will draw all men unto him, there is a joy and such fun in that. Don't you agree?
Yes, there absolutely is, Tom. I agree. I love doing this show. I love having folks like you on who are so enthusiastic about our Lord and about spreading the message of the gospel, and it's just wonderful to be called to do this. So again, it's a pleasure to have you be on the show today. Well, Tom, it has been a while, as I mentioned at the introduction. It's been a while since you were here on Step Into the Light. So bring us up to date on what projects you're involved in now. Give us a little overview, and then we'll get into more specifics.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. There is a couple of things that I have going right now, and one of them is to be involved with the Christian Writers Collective and to be one of the contributing writers. Now, I should put in a plug, because if there are people out there that like to write and they're interested in sharing their testimonies and the touch of Jesus upon them, I encourage them to get a hold of Stephanie Reynolds at Christian Writers Collective, because they're looking for authors. And that's how I got involved. My friend, Pastor Bob from Kingdom Crossroad Podcast, he contacted me right away. He said, Tom, you need to get involved in this. And then, of course, then I've been sharing that message with other people, because it's going to be a very encouraging time, and I'm looking forward to seeing more activity with this series. And the first book that we have is in the Jesus Can series is called Jesus Can Give You a New Life. What a way to start, right? You know?
Absolutely.
There is so many hurting people out there in our world today, especially in our country, and to think that they could have that new life and a relationship with the Lord. So that's where the testimonies come in, the testimonies of our mouth, plus the sharing the gospel, helping people to see that they can have a new start. And that's what the Jesus Can series, the book one, is starting to draw out. And I'm very excited for that, because when you get somebody that's connected to the Lord, oh, that is such fun. Their eyes are open, their ears are open, and their mind and their hearts, and then they start to see things in a new way. And, of course, it starts the curiosity, right? All of a sudden they realize, hey, this is different. You know, the kingdom of God is all around me. And then they become hungry and thirsty for more information.
Tom, take a step back and tell us, what is the Christian Collective? I've never heard of that. If I haven't heard of it, chances are our listeners haven't either. So share a little bit about that with us.
Okay, great. Christian Writer Collective is the vision of Stephanie Reynolds. About 3 years ago, she had this spiritual impression to start the Jesus Can series. So in order to have that with the contributing writers, she needed to get an LLC started, in which we would agree with terms and service to be part of the book. And then if it should ever make money, which we hope it will someday, then we would be getting a certain amount of that. But you know what? You know me already. I'm all about the service. I'm all about the ministry. And the money is not, a main thing for me. So
right.
It's about getting my testimony out there and sharing it with people. So she started this, and I'm telling you, as a 60-year-old person, she just plowed through every obstacle that was going on. And it was amazing, because she just, everything that was happening is that if she bogged down somewhere, God brought her someone to help her get it through. And so I've just been sitting back and watching her achieve all these goals. And then the first book got put into print last year, Jesus Can Give You a New Life. And now I was just at the Christian Product Expo, where I was giving the Jesus Can Heal Your Hurts, the second book in the series, to bookstore owners at the Christian Product Expo. So that was a lot of fun. I always enjoy doing that.
Yes, and I really like that title, Jesus Can Heal Your Hurts, because you just mentioned a few minutes ago, we have a lot of hurting people out there and certainly need to minister to them in whatever way we can.
I totally agree. So if someone is interested, you know, I don't want to overwhelm people, so I need to give them this information. She's
right.
Only looking for 750 words to 1,000 words for a testimony. Now, that's not a whole lot if you're a writer. That's like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. No, and so they can go to ChristianWritersCollective.com, and they will see a submission form there, and they can get a hold of her that way. She's more than willing. She's hoping to have 100 someday, and right now we're at 31, so there's a lot of room for people to come on board.
That sounds amazing, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. You didn't mention this 4 years ago because this was not in existence 4 years ago. You said she started this about 3 years ago, so there you are. That's why I probably didn't know about it.
Watching her plow through every obstacle and achieving all this stuff. And I know that God is thoroughly involved in this series. He conveys it to me over and over again. So now here's the interesting thing. Anybody who's been a writer, you know, and an author, and they got a book in print, and then you got your baby out there, right? And you want to see it get in the hands of people. What needs is that for God to step in and open the big door. And that's where we're at right now with this Jesus Can series. We're waiting for him to open up the big door, and then it'll take off. And we already have book 3 in the process, hoping to get it into print by, I think she said, October. So, and anybody who joins now will be able to contribute to that book. So that would be wonderful to have people come on and be part of this.
That is exciting, Tom. That's very exciting. Tom, you started working on novels more than nonfiction. Well, I can't say exclusively, but novels are another avenue that you have pursued. Let's put it that way. So tell us about what's going on there.
All right. So, you know, a little bit of a backstory. I was really expecting my first book, Healing the Nation, to take off because I had all this positive reinforcement and confirmations from the Lord. And it was a very powerful message in there. And it really didn't take off like I thought. And so I had written 2 small novelettes in the meantime, as well as about spiritual house cleaning, which is dynamic for cleaning up spiritual problems. I had gone to my local library for Authors Day, and they had quite a turnout. There was more than 50 local authors that had contributed to the library's day. And I'm standing there, right? And I'm looking at all these rows of books. And I was just overwhelmed that there are so many stories. And that's just in this time frame. I mean, people have been writing books for a long time. And then I thought to myself that it's just kind of like an epiphany, you know? And I thought to myself, people like a good story. And that's when I decided that I would start writing novels. Novels based on people's lives. And then write a story around it. And so that's how it started out with Angels on Assignment 714, where it was about a pastor that was in El Paso, Texas, and the guy was so sick he was going to die. And he started crying out to God, and he got the ear of God, and God sent people. He sent my friend Pastor Phil to get connected with him, and he prayed for his healing, and he got it. And that opened up the door for us to go down there. And so when we were in Cayuga, Texas, we had met 3 lady pastors from Oklahoma City. And we had gone there a couple months later to minister. Now, I invited them out to a coffee in between the services, and I asked them about their lives because I was looking for my next character to write about. When they started talking about their lives, Patty, I couldn't believe it. These over-the-top spiritual experiences, the supernatural happening. I knew right then and there that I was going to be writing books about their individual stories. And so that started it with One Door Between Us, which was about the senior pastor and how God just intervened into her whole family and just redirected their lives. And then the second pastor was, she had a different type of spiritual gifting. And that's where I wrote the book, Just a Limb, so that I could help people see that she has this spiritual gift, that she can see darkness, you know, she can perceive evil in nearby or how to address it. And so that's an amazing story. Then there is This Room, which I contacted you about. This Room is the latest book, and it's about the third pastor that is in there. And that main character's name is Grace Tabitha Winslow.
Can you give us a sneak peek about This Room and what she was seeking and the answer that she received?
Now, it's a very dramatic story, and I had to write it in such a way that it wasn't too heavy, but it was it would hold the people's interest, you know, the reader's interest. And so when I started writing the story, I thought, wow, this is going to be amazing. So she gave me some information about people coming in to her family that were on the Mayflower, if you can believe that or not. So I went to the passenger list, and that's where I found the name Winslow to create for this character. Then the story of Tabitha and Grace also mixes in to this main character and how it contributes to her life. But you see, there was so much drama. So you have just one troubling thing after another. How she got into this room is that in creative license, you know, when you're writing this, I always tell people I do use some creative license and deviate from just the norm, because, you know, I love to weave the supernatural into my stories. I got that in there. And what happened is that got it to where she had been, unfortunately, she had been choked. And I wrote it as if she had been choked to unconsciousness. And then that's when she starts to learn. You see, at the very end of her consciousness, she's crying out to the Lord. She says, how is this happening again? And then she wakes up, and her companion brings her into this room and shows her everything that contributed to how this is happening again, from one dynamic to another, from their family line to how God intervened over and over again in her life to see that she got to where she was. And then coming out of this drama and receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord, the transformation, I tell people, it's her life before Jesus and her life after Jesus. Now, I kept this a little short at only 58,000 words because there was just so much, how would you say it, the drama. There was just so much drama. I thought, man, I can't pull this out any longer. And so I try to keep my answers short, try to keep the definition short to, how would you say it, limit the adverse effects that she was having. And so, and of course, you know, this is brand spanking new. It's just on the website for Zoe Healing Center, maybe a week. So it's brand new.
It sounds like there was a lot of intensity to her spiritual journey, Tom.
Don't we all want to know, you know, if people talk about doing their spiritual walk, right?
Yeah.
And so in that spiritual journey, there are things that we learn along the way. So mm-hmm. In this room, her companion helps her to discover things that she can't reach on her own, knowledge she can't reach on her own, things that she couldn't comprehend that took place, and then guided her through finding some of her own answers along the way. And then, of course, the unbelievable stuff that God can do in the spiritual realm that we can't see. Can you imagine heaven? There's going to be so many wonderful things in heaven that the Apostle Paul says, I saw stuff I can't even describe to you. No?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And so this is where I try to weave some of these unusual, creative things that the Lord blessed me with. I'm telling you, I'm writing it and I'm stopping. Oh, Lord, please give me an idea here.
Sure. Yeah. And Tom, I don't know how many times I have said this on the show with various guests that we here on earth are the finite trying to understand the infinite. And that's why it is so difficult. And I had a guest here a while back, not to draw any attention away from you and today's show, but this brings to mind, had a guest a while back who talked about different dimensions. We can only fathom a two-dimensional and three-dimensional world. But when you think about God, you know, he probably has a bunch of dimensions up there that we can't begin to fathom. And I think this is exactly the point that you are making, and that there are just so many wonderful things ahead for us that we can't even begin to, in our wildest imagination, can't think about. So, yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Well, for me, the thing has been is that I have had 40 years of this experiential relationship with the Lord. So he has helped me to comprehend the spiritual realm in a variety of different ways. And now it starts showing up in the writings to help the reader be able to expand their ability to be able to comprehend how God moves. And, of course, we like to know that, you know, how is the Spirit doing this or that, and how is this prayer being answered? No, and giving clues along the way.
Well, your books sound really interesting. So how did you gather the information for the book, Tom? And did you have the opportunity to visit sites and do in-person interviews? I know that's oftentimes a lot of fun for fiction writers, well, writers of any genre, but to be able to actually interview people. Did you have that experience?
Yes. All right. So as a member of, what is it, ACFW, American Christian Fiction Writers?
Yes.
Yeah, I had put a question in there with the group asking, do you think it'd be worthwhile if I wanted a location? And, of course, everybody said yes. So I thought, okay, I'll invest the money, which is kind of unusual for me because I just don't do that kind of stuff. So I started that with the second book in the series, Just Lynn. And, oh, man, this contributes so much to the storyline because I can see it in my mind. I can convey stuff that I never would have been able to convey if I hadn't been there. So, of course, when it came to this book, This Room, is that it started that way. I went out to Oklahoma City, and I sat down over the course of 2 days in conversations with the main character. And then, of course, the two other people, which is in The One Door Between Us, and her name is in the book is Ariel or Ari, and Justalyn, to get their inputs on how they contributed to Grace Tabitha's life. I got a lot more information from them than I needed once I started the story. But when I went out there and spent the time and I saw where they were, it was amazing how it contributes to the ability to write the story and then go to the town where she grew up. And to be able to see the things there was monumental. So I was glad that took place. And it was, you know, honestly, it was fun. It was fun to go do that and have a purpose to go to these different places.
I'm sure it was.
We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author Tom Donnan. Tom is involved in several writing projects, and his latest novel is titled This Room. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all of the episodes we have aired to date. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest websites, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview. What did you learn about this character? I know you mentioned at one point to me before the show that there were some things about this character that affected you very deeply and struggles that she went through.
I don't mind writing a story where, you know, you get emotional and, you know, you can feel the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit on you during the story. This was different. I'm telling you, the things that were going on, I was getting triggered. You know, I tell people that I'm 70 years old now. And what I tell them is that I lived most of my adult life trying to forget the first 17 years. Now, what does that tell you? Right. So, as we're going through this information that she's given me and I'm writing a story, I'm telling you, I am getting triggered with my own stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is like really different. And I got very concerned, and she's getting triggered because she's giving me stuff that she's been trying to, you know, avoid, you know, but Jesus doesn't leave us there. He doesn't save us and just leave us in that spot. He wants to bring healing. So what was happening is that we were both being responding to by the making of this book. And then I had to contact my friend, Pastor Phil. He and I are both authors. And I was telling him, Phil, I can write this book, but should I? You know, that was a really serious question. He said, well, if there's stuff there that's being triggered, maybe it needs to be dealt with, and this is God's way of doing it. So I wasn't off the hook. It just got me on the hook, and I had to keep on going. But I'll tell you, that contributed to me holding back on a lot of different things. So that it would be, how would you say it, safe for myself. Does that sound good?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So it definitely caught me by surprise. I've never had this happen before when I've written a book. And so now here was the thing, is that I had two relatives help me with this, and they both felt a response in something in their life. They could feel the presence of the Lord, but they also responded to it. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're doing something here. This can't be me and my writing. It has to be you with the message in the book. So, okay, I'm just trusting you with this, and let's go with it.
You know, Tom, I went through portions of our last interview just to refresh my memory as to what we did talk about, and I know you did talk about some of the experiences that you had as a child and that they were difficult for you. And I think sometimes, and I've heard this from several other writers, when they are writing a story, it does. It triggers their own experiences. And actually, no one else may ever read that book, but it is cathartic for that author.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think God points us in the direction of what to write because it's healing for us ourselves and makes us a better servant for Him.
Well, the main goal for the person that I was writing about, she says, listen, I'm telling you right now, if this book isn't to glorify God, I don't want nothing to do with it. You know, I don't want you to write this book. And over and over again throughout the process, she says, I want this to make sure that this glorifies God. So I had to have that in the utmost, foremost part of my mind as I'm writing the story. And I even put that in the beginning of the book, and I think maybe even in the prologue, so that people will be aware that this whole thing is to bring glory to God. But at the same time, you know, one of the big deals that we have in our country is the need for repentance. And sometimes, you know, those things hurt looking in there and seeing what's going on and stuff. And it's hard to be able to do that. And God just helped me go into this and to see this because, yeah, those childhood struggles, there's some stuff that I'm still dealing with now, even at my age. And I'm glad that He's doing it because Romans 8:28, for we know that God who loves us prepares all things for us for our good and not for our harm. Okay. And then it goes on to say that it helps us to be more like Jesus, you know, and the reason that that is so good is because of the fact that He is pure healthiness. So the more that we can become like Jesus, the more that we can be healthy, and the more that we're healthy, the relationships are better and life is better. So, you know, the end goal here is that things are getting better all the time.
Yes. And would you tell us, Tom, in this book, how do you show us the God side of the story? And did you weave it through the generations?
Oh, gee, now that's the weaving in there. Because you know what? We're not alone, right? We might be born, but we're not alone. Those generations before us open up all kinds of good. I mean, all kinds of doors, good and bad. And so I bring that all into the effect. I show how things happened in the beginning, how the people way before her had contributed to the difficulties in her life, and how it happened over and over and over again, generations, 3-4 generations sometimes, the same thing cropped up in the relationships. You know, and so it became cycles, generational cycles, so that she could understand. And at the same time, you know, we all want to know that we were wanted by our parents. And so I weaved that into the story in such a way that even when she was reading it, she goes, you know, this is hard for me because I'm crying when I'm reading this because I can see that they wanted me. But what in the heck went wrong? You know? And so sometimes we ask those deep questions. And I'm telling you, the way that the Lord helped me is that she had heart. You know, sometimes we have questions that we don't have words to put into words, let's say, right?
We sure do.
And the companion in her room knows these questions that she's not verbalizing it and even answers it for her before it comes to her conscious mind. So she is like shocked. And throughout this whole thing, she says, what is this room? How can, you know, I can't believe what goes on in here. And then towards the end, she gets so comfortable with it, but then the time is up. And then she realizes, oh, wait a minute, I got a whole lot more questions. Come on. But it was too late. It was time for her to return. So that's the thing about weaving it in there, because you know what? We need to understand esteem. And if we can be esteemed by our parents, that's a foundation. And then being esteemed by the Lord, that's another foundation. And so sometimes that evades us, especially when we have woundedness from early in our lives. And that woundedness will be there without having the words to be able to associate with it. But God knows. He knows, and He'll start bringing things up and introducing things in our lives to undo the things that have happened so that we can be free from those strongholds and damage that has taken place. And a lot of that takes place in this story.
Yeah, and I would like to refer listeners to, Tom, back to the episode that we aired in, goodness, 2019. Can you believe it? It was January of 2019. So we're looking at a little over 4 years that you were on the show, and you did during that interview talk a little bit more about things that happened in your childhood and how they affected you. So I just wanted to refer listeners back to that, and I will put that link on the website too, so it's easy for them to find.
Thank you for that.
Yes, so you shared with us about two of your projects. Tell us about the third one.
Well, my friend Pastor Phil and I have been ministering over the last 10 years. He does a whole lot more of it than I have the time to be able to jump in with him. And how it works with him is that he has had a revival at his church on four different occasions. And the last time that it had happened for him, it ran 88 weeks. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So people from 25 states and 13 nations came to his church because the miraculous was happening there. So they even had an ambulance that was driving past the church during one of the services. And what happened is that the woman was going to, I think it was Houston, and she was going to be going to the hospital, and she was going to be put on hospice, you know, somewhere along the line. And they demanded that they go back to that church. Something's going on at that church. Can you believe they're on the road driving by, and they say, listen, something's going on back there. So it's almost comical because the ambulance at the front of the church where the platform is, right, is towards the front by the street, and there's two glass double doors there. So Phil is up there conducting the service, and all of a sudden an ambulance starts backing up to the door. Can you believe that? They bring the woman in on a stretcher, right?
Wow.
And so he calls his prayer team. He says, come on up here and minister to this lady. And then she winds up living another 2.5-3 years. No? And so and that's just one of many stories that has happened. So as we team up and we go to different churches, now I'm starting to write about those stories, and then I'm going to send it to him, and then he can put his part that he remembers contributing to the sum of it. So we're co-authoring this next project that I have about 20,000 words written now, and he will contribute to it, so I don't know where it'll end. And so that's kind of, you know, I don't know if you've heard what's going on in Asbury University in Kentucky. Have you heard that?
No.
10 days ago, and I was just down there in Kentucky. I went to the Ark Encounter, which is amazing. All right, so I was right in that location, and what happened during the time that I was there, the kids are told, kids, college students, right, to meet our kids, right, are told that they have to go to chapel at least twice a week. All right, so they were in chapel, and what happened is that towards the end, one of the students stood up and started to pray repentance, right? He's praying for repentance. And then, bam, the Holy Spirit descended upon that church. Now you have people that are outside of this chapel wanting to get in. This is only 10 days ago, wanting to get in, and it's stretching for a half a mile. Now, here's the good part. The good part is that there are now 18 other campuses that are now experienced this in the last 10 days. It has spread to 18 campuses. So you see, Phil and I have seen the supernatural stuff happening. And right now it is beginning in these places, in these chapels, where God just shows up and he heals people. And that's absolutely amazing. They come in broken and they wind up leaving whole. He gives them their life back. Can you believe that? I have been on the other side of that. And I know what it feels like. Oh, the gratitude just jumps off the scale. To my God who saw my brokenness and then sends the Holy Spirit, and then my body is healed and I get my life back. These people are getting their lives back. It's absolutely amazing.
Sounds fascinating.
You and I and maybe some others have experienced the manifest presence of God during services or maybe revival, and these young students have not. So what has happened is that some of them were dragging their mattresses from their dorm rooms into the chapel so that they could sleep in the presence of God. Is that amazing?
Wow.
Thank you for pointing that out, Tom.
Oh, it's exciting news. America needs this.
Oh, my goodness. Do we ever? I know. We need to become a nation under God again.
Oh, that would be so wonderful.
Well, Tom, it's been a delight talking to you. I enjoyed talking to you because you're so enthusiastic about what you're doing, that it's obvious that you are knee-deep, so to speak, in these projects, and you're very excited, and I wish you the very best. I hope that all of these projects take off, and I will definitely follow up, too, with the Christian Writers Collective that you mentioned. Is there anything else you had in mind that you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover?
Yes, that would be my contact information. We're going to get to it anyway. But I want to tell people that I realized early on now is that this was not going to be about having book sales. You know, book sales went out the window. Now it is sharing the books with people to help their spiritual growth and hopefully have people come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So the place they can go and read, I think, 4 of my books now for free, which are PDFs. They can go there and download them. They're like ebooks on ZoeHealingCenter.com in the book tab. Now, there's other books that are there for free, and I know all of the authors are really spiritual people. And so there's a benefit to all of that. So there's about, I think, 8 books now that are free that can be read. And, of course, you know, I got my babies on there, you know.
Of course.
Of course, I hope that people will enjoy reading them. But not just that, to be, how would you say it, changed.
Yes.
You know, I love getting people tapped into the Holy Spirit, because once they're tapped into him, oh, he can bring them anywhere that he wants to. And that is a joy.
Well, I think the word we're looking for, Tom, is empowered. We love to see people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do great things beyond anything they ever imagined that they could do. And the Holy Spirit can do that for us. So that's
I agree.
That's
thank you.
Well, this has been great to connect with you again, Tom. And thank you so much for sharing with us these resources that are available for free of charge. My goodness, that's very generous and wonderful, and I'm glad that you brought that up to our listeners today.
I can be reached also on Facebook, Tom Donnan on Facebook, and also, too, is the email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Excellent.
Betty, thank you very much. You know, we have fun when we have these conversations.
Yes, we do. We sure do. Well, again, thank you so much, Tom, and may God continue to bless you in your work.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHEN.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.